Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. We are well into the Chinese Grand Prix weekend. It feels like we've had about 800 competitive sessions with this sprint weekend, but we are back. We did a podcast earlier. If you want to listen or watch our reflection to the sprint race, which had lots of chaos, then go and check that out on YouTube and, of course, on all audio platforms. But right now, we're doing our second podcast of the day, which is about qualifying, the main one, the proper one, which happens now on a Saturday. And it wasn't wet, Tommy. It probably definitely wasn't as good as the first one we had this weekend.
Is it peak Formula One these days that they switched it round and we would have got the most banger of all qualifying sessions yesterday? That being said, the sprint was good this morning. Just a shout out to what a bizarre situation that Sky were essentially like doing spoiler-free sprint things from what was happening earlier, and then a graphic just came up and said what happened in the sprint anyway. Very bizarre. I understand the confusion of it.
And also, that would be F1 feeding them the graphic. And
yeah,
be Sky,
yeah, not Sky.
Like, wait,
not Sky.
I'm surprised they didn't go, don't look! Don't look! There's a graphic on the screen! Don't look!
Look away, look away. Yeah, it is unusual. I guess it is just this unusual format, but I've already made my thoughts clear on what I think about it in the other podcast, so
go listen to that teaser. One. Yeah. Myself and Tommy disagreed. So if you haven't watched that other podcast, you should, because we battled and it was fantastic. Speaking of battling, let's go to Q1 then, shall we? And the bottom five were Zhou, Magnussen, Hamilton, Tsunoda, and Sargeant. Big shock, of course, being Lewis Hamilton not making it out of Q1. Just a big mistake into the hairpin, locked up, and he, you know, we are not spoiler-free. In the sprint, he locked up and lost the lead pretty much in that same corner. So he's been struggling there. And to be fair, he's not the only driver to have been struggling this weekend. It's a low-grip track. That's why the likes of Bottas has become the greatest driver of all time. But Hamilton, yeah, that one snatch of the brake into the hairpin, because it was quite close in Q1, as we tend to see a lot, cost him that time. And he starts 18th after me celebrating biggest good surprise, thinking this is it. It's going to be a great weekend for Hamilton. And then he's gone and done that.
Yeah. Yesterday with Alex, we were talking about how does it summarize Mercedes and how much they don't really understand their car and how it's really working, that George Russell, or that they were almost about to go out in SQ2, and then Hamilton almost poles it in the session. And again, you know, polar opposite. We were like, Hamilton's done a good job in the sprint to finish second. We thought he might drop back, and we're like, oh yeah, there's good pace in that Mercedes. Fast forward 3 hours, and he's 18th in qualifying. They do not understand that car at all. And yeah, Hamilton, another mistake into the hairpin. Just not going well for them, and it shows just a tiny mistake can cost you big. Now the gaps are very close.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put this on understanding of the car. I think it's just a pure mistake. It's not as if, I think Hamilton has shown some decent pace, as we say. I think he definitely needs to buy Alonso a beer for the sprint result, because without Alonso, perhaps Hamilton would have fallen into the clutches of the Ferraris and the McLarens. But yeah, I would say it's more just driver error this time around, because without that error, he would have made it easily through Q1 and then perhaps, you know, Q3, and then we'll see. But yeah, so Hamilton has got a massive job to do. And I found it very interesting that in his post-quali interview, he was almost laughing it off and saying how bad it is. It's a strange demeanour for him to have. And I wonder if it's because it is his last season at Mercedes. And look, he accepts the fate that he's got this year. And then he's looking forward to potentially wearing, well, not potentially, definitely wearing red next year. And
he's excited to qualify sixth and seventh.
Yeah, shut up. I was about to say, yeah, they have a good quality car, but apparently not anymore. But we'll get on to that. Speaking of, well, yeah, look, you slandered Ferrari, so I'm doing one straight back. Tsunoda, 19th. My God, I've never seen a biggest flop come in so beautifully. Obviously, no disrespect to Yuki. I didn't want him to do badly, but it was in my bones. It was in my blood. And he has had an awful weekend so far.
It really
has. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, both qualifying sessions, he's been bad. Couldn't make any moves in the sprint either. And it's going to be a big ask from P19 in the main race. See what he can do. But yeah, he's having a shocker. It is that the biggest flop curse is crazy that he has just been a really good surprise all season, done really well. And seemingly he's just fallen. His form is just absolutely woeful. Yeah, not good. Not good.
It's 5 from 5 now, so I'm expecting someone to make the meme because I'm pretty sure the...
Hey, look, he might win tomorrow. You never know.
Well, if he doesn't, it's the Grim Reaper, isn't it, with the five doors. I think that someone needs to make that meme because it's getting out of hand now. So sorry, Yuki, but yes. And then Sargeant at the back.
Another little spin. Another mistake.
Another mistake. Had a new rear wing for a little while, didn't he, with the MSC Cruises. That looked quite cool. Maybe they'll get a new... Maybe that's what Logan will say. I was actually trying to do a live demonstration to a new sponsor about what MSC Cruises would look like on our rear wing. Big brain thinking.
Big brain from him, because it might be the only way he can keep his seat to bring a new sponsor in. But
wow.
Albon, in the sprint, to be fair, we were applauding him, even though, ironically, he was P20 and at the back, but the Williams looked bad and he was on the back of Albon and we're like, well, keep doing this. Don't make any mistakes. This is fine. But yeah, it's another error and another moment where he's like right at the back in qualifying when his teammate is getting through.
Well, actually, 20th was your goat, Fernando Alonso. Let's not forget that. That was Logie securing a good old 19th. But one thing I will actually mention as well that was a shock, which we haven't spoken about this year so far, is Zhou being knocked out in Q1 because he had such an amazing sprint qualifying. Obviously, the crowd were going crazy and it was awesome to see. I think that perhaps because of all that sort of hype and whatnot, maybe our brains got slightly distracted by perhaps just how well Zhou was doing compared to his teammate Bottas, who was doing an incredible job. And Zhou just left a little bit out on the table in this qualifying and gets knocked out, which is pretty poor considering Bottas made it to Q3.
Yeah, it's another bad qualifying for Zhou. He'd have taken that in a normal session because they're normally right at the back. But when Bottas is doing Bottas things on a low grip track like he loves, it's not great from Zhou. There was a big margin there.
There was, and then obviously Magnussen, but that's just Magnussen. Okay, Q2. Out was Stroll, Ricciardo, Ocon, Albon and Gasly. Big talking point here was Carlos Sainz crashing at the final corner, causing a red flag. And we were live on Twitch, as we always are. Matt P1 Tommy, if you haven't watched any of our watch-alongs, we do it for every qualifying and every race. Carlos, of course, having that incident. And I did enjoy how some people were trying to turn this into a Charles Leclerc slander and the fact that he only just out-qualified him despite Carlos crashing. And I'm like, how are people saying that that's a bad thing for Charles rather than talking about the mistake that Carlos made? And he's a very lucky boy that he didn't break a steering arm or have gearbox problems after that because it wasn't a big crash, but it was enough of a crash that could have definitely caused more problems than what he had. And there was also someone else in the Twitch chat that suggested that he had some big brain plays by the fact that he just sat there for a little while. Oh, red flag. Lovely. Right, let me turn it back on now. So I still got 6 minutes left as I crawl all the way around because he couldn't do what you'd do in an F1 game and just drive straight towards the pits because that would literally be going backwards around the track. So he had to do a whole lap. So I wonder if there was some strategy plays going on there for Sainz, waiting for the red flag to be flown. Because it doesn't matter if you cause a red flag. If you can get your car going again, you're still part of qualifying, which is another debate for another day, perhaps.
Yeah, it's something they've spoken about trying to implement. If you cause a red flag, your times get deleted. But the fact is that he could carry on is the situation, that because he was off the track, but it was enough to cause a red flag because he'd gone off into the barrier. And yeah, smart thinking if it was on purpose for him to basically wait for the red flag. Do I think it was on purpose or not? I'm not sure. I don't think it's a problem if it was. It's just clever thinking that you can get back to the pits, because it was only realistically his front wing that he knocked off. It looked more dramatic than I think it was. And yeah, you could get back in the race, and then he had no such problems when he got back into Q2, because he got out fairly easily.
Question from Pierre Proust. Why red flag it when Sainz wasn't laying on the track? Just roll him off. His problem. What a way of phrasing that question. They red flag any kind of incidents like that in qualifying to be, you know, safe and to not err on.
Doesn't disrupt like it does in the race. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not as if like all times get reset and we roll out again with 6 minutes to go. It's just a neutralization. In some ways, a red flag is in qualifying, like a safety car perhaps is in a race. So I think it was the right decision. What are they?
Because even if they had
instead?
To roll him off, right, it's going to take 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and there was 6 minutes left or something. So you're wasting the whole session. That's why they red flag, so they can clear a car. It's not just a case of a brave mechanic just going, "Oh, it's yellows. Carlos, jump out. I'll roll the car," and it takes 30 seconds. That's a long time for them to clear the car.
Yeah, and that would be frustrating, I think, from our side, because we want to watch qualifying. And if there's a yellow flag in the final corner, no one will be able to improve. They would all have to crawl around there, and just then qualifying's ruined.
Yeah.
So absolutely the right decision from the FIA, from a safety perspective, but also from an entertainment perspective as well. So, that was that. Next question, Simtana. Who is more delusional? Us believing that Max won't win every quali, or Lawrence Stroll thinking that his son can become champion in Formula One? So look, Lawrence Stroll is a very successful businessman. I don't think he has any hope that Lance Stroll is going to win a world championship, especially if he's going to hire the likes of Fernando Alonso to be his teammate. Surely he's not more delusional than us believing that Max won't win every... But I don't think there's many people out there that believe that Max won't... He can't get pole every race, because sprint, I guess, technically doesn't count. But in this Q2 session, of course, Stroll going out was not the biggest surprise in the world. And to be honest, not really many surprises in this Q2 session. Alpine being rubbish, Williams having a car that, as Alex actually described it, as being on a knife's edge. Danny Ric, I'd say a solid performance, but nothing too crazy apart from obviously Sainz's incident.
Yeah. You say that. I mean, Lance Stroll definitely should be getting through over Hülkenberg and Bottas. That's all he's got to beat. When Hamilton's already out the session, he's basically got a very easy pass into Q3, particularly when his teammate is doing what he does. And once again, Stroll getting let down by qualifying. What's new?
It's interesting, actually. Look at the times. He was only a couple of tenths off Alonso in both Q1 and Q2, which is not an absolutely horrendous Japanese Grand Prix kind of failure here. And yet Alonso's managed to stick it P3 at the end of qualifying. Yeah. So I feel
it's
like
the gaps in Formula One now that can happen. I think we've said it many times now that 0.2 can be the difference between 3rd and 11th, whereas back, you know, years ago, 0.2 would maybe only be like 1 or 2 positions, if that.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Let's go to Q3 then, and the order was Verstappen, Perez, Alonso, Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Sainz, Russell, Hülkenberg, and Bottas. So, of course, Red Bull 1-2, whoop-dee-doo, fantastic. Thanks for coming. Hope you're happy with the money. But I would say Fernando Alonso is obviously the star of qualifying. And I'll go straight into a question from PolskyPolak_2. Is Alonso just that strong and really outperforming the car by that much constantly? Yes. in his whole career, it feels like he's driven better when his car's been rubbish. There's something in him that just goes, it's like a love-hate relationship with a car that's terrible. And he goes, I'm going to get every millimeter, every percentage I possibly can out of this car. And that is why Tommy believes he's the greatest driver to ever, you know, grace a racetrack. And Fernando is a phenomenal talent. He needs to be studied. He's 42 years old, and yet he's still putting in performances like that. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, there's no one better that can outperform a car. I firmly believe that Aston Martin is not the second best car on the grid. No way. And Alonso putting it P3, I genuinely think you could put him in a McLaren, a Ferrari, a Mercedes, an Aston Martin. It would all be the same result, because even if one car's better than the other, he just manages to deliver. He even mentioned to himself that the biggest reason for the gap between him and Stroll is he can drive around car problems and things like that. And it's so true. You only have to look at what he did in 2012 when he almost won the world championship in an absolute tractor of a Ferrari. And he's done that through his whole career. And arguably, you know, his stint at Aston Martin is one of, if not the most impressive of the lot, because he is absolutely wiping the floor with his teammate and just delivering these amazing performances. The only disappointing thing is that he's almost like too good in qualifying, that I don't think that car should be there. And we saw that in the sprint that he did kind of, I think he was hanging on.
He certainly was, and that segues quite nicely into the next question from P1 Patreon member Daphne. Given what happened during the first part of the sprint race, is there any chance that the fight for P3 will be more than just a DRS train behind Alonso? Now, we mentioned a little bit about this in the sprint race podcast that we did, but to kind of summarise, I think it depends on the wind direction. As we spoke about, it being a tailwind did not help the sprint race, and of course helps the leading person in that DRS train to not basically have as much drag come off the car. And then science, but basically, if you go into a headwind, it's going to slow down the car that is pushing that wind more than if it's a tailwind. And then, of course, more overtakes will come that way if it is a headwind. So fingers crossed, I think, for the race, we do get a headwind, because I think it will help a lot. We've seen it, especially in Baku, for example, the massive differences we can see between a headwind down that long straight into turn one compared to a tailwind. So fingers crossed that. And also, all the drivers aren't going to be on exactly the same tyre life of tyres and strategies and things like that, which should open up some possibilities for overtaking as well. So I think it is going to be a massive fight for P3, but it's going to be, fingers crossed, a bit more exciting than what we saw in the sprint.
Yeah, I hope so. It does seem like we saw that kind of mini spoiler in the fact that Max was miles ahead, which maybe unsurprisingly, in the sprint, but Perez also, once he got clear air, could check out. So I think Red Bull, it would take some kind of minor miracle for it not to be a 1-2 for them tomorrow. But I think P3 is anyone's game. And based on the racing that we saw at the end of the sprint, I'd love to see more of that. This time without an Alonso penalty.
Fingers crossed, because that was an interesting 10-second penalty that he got at the end of the sprint, which didn't matter because he retired anyway. But he did get an extra 3 penalty points for that incident that Tommy, I know, feels very strongly about it being a penalty. But I think it was fair. But either or, doesn't really change much. Moving on now to Ferrari. I'm sure a lot of people want us to talk about that, so let's do that. Good. Next question. P1. I'm kidding. So obviously, Charles Leclerc absolutely dominated Carlos Sainz in this session by 0.008 of a second. He's back. He's ready to really, you know, throw the gauntlet down with that 0.008 of a second. That's a big gap for those two to... I'm kidding. But it's sad to see, because Saturdays used to be my day. Now no days are my day. And that is upsetting. I know they've got a better race car, and I have full hope that Ferrari could... and may well get third place, but McLaren are also looking strong this weekend. But and it is close. It's a tenth for Charles between him and Alonso, tenth and a half. So it's not a massive margin, but it seems like they are falling on the wrong side of that small margin.
Yeah, definitely. I would have, well, we both did. We both predicted that this would be a good track for Ferrari. You look at the teams they are fighting for that, you know, best of the top teams, best of the rest top teams with McLaren, Aston Martin and Mercedes, who all have Mercedes engines. They've not been known for having good straight line speed, particularly, you know, Aston Martin. So I don't think that I'm very surprised that they are behind McLaren is definitely. Fernando is just doing Fernando things, and I don't think he's got a quicker race car than Ferrari, but in qualifying he could bring it out the bag. But very surprised to see Ferrari down in 6th and 7th. I thought they would be easily the second best car this weekend, and they don't seem to be.
Me too, and they're not. But maybe they will be in the race. Let's keep the hopes well and truly high. And I suppose a small shout out needs to be made to Hülkenberg and Bottas. Hulk didn't really get much plaudits, I don't think, but absolutely deserves it, being up in 9th and the Haas, his teammate, in 17th. More sort of order has been restored between Hülkenberg and Magnussen and what we saw a little bit last year. But yeah, very a great performance from Nico, and also Valtteri as well. Very close between those two for 9th and 10th. And yeah, Bottas, I thought maybe even could have challenged the likes of Russell, perhaps with how fast he was looking during qualifying, but still a great result and a good opportunity to beat Lance Stroll for 10th place.
It's become almost normal, hasn't it, that Nico Hülkenberg puts in those performances, that it's not, maybe he's not got the plaudits he deserves because he's done it so much that you're kind of like, oh, he's in Q3 again, and it's not that big shock like maybe Bottas being in there or someone really different. But he is consistently doing very well, and there is a lot of talk that he may yet still be an interesting driver in the driver market for four teams. We don't know this, but yeah, lots of questions there, because if he keeps putting in these performances, and now Haas have a good race car that we know, they don't seem to shred their tires as much, so he could have a nice result. And if Haas end up getting points again, they're streaking clear of Williams in particular, and Alpine. They could be out of sight, although they always start the season well, don't they, and then get back towards the end. But Haas are doing incredibly well. Well, Hülkenberg is.
Yeah, post-Gunter Steiner era, they're doing quite well. So interesting. And that pretty much sums it up. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to this qualifying rundown. Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that I am tired and I still don't like this new format, but I'm really excited for the race tomorrow. I hope it does deliver something different, the fact that it is on a different day. Please, a little sprinkling of rain would be lovely. I don't think it's on the horizon.
I don't think it's on the...
Oh, why did I have to do it Friday? Why Friday, Formula One?
Well, at least Friday wasn't just practice. You know, yeah, at least we had some kind of competitive session. My final thoughts are, please come and tune in to our watch along tomorrow. I have never, ever seen Tommy look over the age of 21 years old, but at the 4 a.m. watch-along,
I so nearly missed it.
Oh, my God. I was messaging him 5 minutes ago, where are you? I thought that was it. It's a solo watch-along for me today, and then Tommy arrived looking like he had just rolled out of bed, and he probably had. It was amazing. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. We'll see you very soon, and catch you tomorrow for the race.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.